From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of Lessons for Life on Seeking for the Lord, part of this series of studies in the book of Joshua. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled Divine Recompense. The text is Proverbs 11, verse 25. He that watereth shall be watered also himself. If I carefully consider others, God will consider me, and in some way or other He will recompense me. Let me consider the poor, and the Lord will consider me. Let me look after little children, and the Lord will treat me as His child. Let me feed His flock, and He will feed me. Let me water His garden, and He will make a watered garden of my soul. This is the Lord's own promise. Be it mine to fulfill the condition, and then to expect its fulfillment. I may care about myself till I grow morbid. I may watch over my own feelings till I feel nothing, and I may lament my own weakness till I grow almost too weak to lament. It will be far more profitable for me to become unselfish, and out of love to my Lord Jesus, begin to care for the souls of those around me. My tank is getting very low. No fresh rain comes to fill it. What shall I do? I will pull up the plug and let its contents run out to water the withering plants around me. What do I see? My cistern seems to fill as it flows. A secret spring is at work. While all was stagnant, the fresh spring was sealed. But as my stock flows out to water others, the Lord thinketh upon me. Hallelujah!
Seed to the soul and the
18th chapter of Luke's Gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ presented a parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land, the apparent powerlessness of our churches, cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in the urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seriously seek it. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615, and ask for Edwards on Prayer. The address again is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. Joshua chapter 9, verses 1 through 15, records the account of the Gibeonites, a Canaanite people who came to Joshua with the false claim that they lived in a far-off country and had traveled many days to seek refuge with the army of Israel, hoping to escape the fate of the other inhabitants of the land. In this message, Dr. Cairns has first of all pointed out that sinners under condemnation show great wisdom in seeking God. Then, sinners who seek the Lord need not fear being rejected. It was the grace of God that caused the Gibeonites to seek the Lord, something that is true of every sinner whose heart is inclined after God. As Dr. Cairns will emphasize, those who have sought the Lord must continue to seek Him, for this world is hostile to godly living. Now to continue this message, Lessons for Life on Seeking for the Lord, here is Dr. Cairns.
The devil would have you believe, you know, that God is standing with a heavy frown and a big stick and ready just to clobber you every time. And he's ready to come down. And because your faith is not perfect faith and your repentance is not perfect repentance, and you wonder even if in your repenting if your heart is not deceiving you, that God is ready to come down on top of you. My friend, nothing could be further from the truth. The Lord is standing, as it were, with open arms. The Lord is welcoming of every sign of softness of heart and interest in Christ. We have a wonderful example of that in another king of Israel by the name of Manasseh. Manasseh reigned 55 years. He was one of the wickedest, vilest men who ever sat on the throne of any nation. An ungodly rascal of the worst sort. And he did come under judgment. But then he repented. He repented. And it's one of the most stirring stories in all the Bible. How that wicked, down and out sinner repented. And God forgave him. God saved him. And you get to heaven. One of the people singing the glories of the Lamb will be Manasseh. Oh, Israel suffered greatly for his sin. His family suffered greatly for his sin. But God had mercy on him. You see, I want you to understand this. When Jesus says, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out," he meant it. He doesn't hedge it about with so many ifs and buts and maybes and perhapses. He says, "Look, come, and if you come to me, I will not under any circumstances cast you out. You can come without fear of being rejected." Oh, how the devil puts impediments in the ways of sinners coming to Christ. And he torments their brains with all sorts of possibilities that maybe if you come, you'll not be saved. Maybe you've got to do something before you come. Maybe you've got to feel something before you come. Maybe you've got to have some characteristic before you come. Jesus simply says, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." When I think of that verse, I always think of the hymn, "Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me, he died at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary." I think of that hymn because the writer of it was saved through John 6 and 37. The writer of that hymn was the son of a preacher here in America. A wild, wicked, ungodly young man who had driven his father to the edge of insanity. He had tried everything and it didn't work. And finally, he packaged the young man up, put him on a train, and sent him off. And before, as he did so, he sent off a telegram to R.A. Torrey in Chicago. And they said, "Dr. Torrey, I've sent my son. He's arriving at such and such a time. I want you to take him into the institute. In other words, I want you to do something with him." Torrey immediately wired back. "This is a college for training young people for Christian service. I can't take him." But it was too late. The young fellow was on his way. Torrey got him picked up, brought him to the institute, sat him down before him, and preached the gospel to him, and asked him, "Will you come to Christ?" The young man said, "But I'm not sure that I believe this." He said, "Look, does Jesus say, 'Him that cometh unto me, being sure that he believes this, 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 and this, I will in no wise cast out'? No, 'Him that cometh, will you come to Christ?'" "Well, I'm not sure that I feel my sins enough." "Does Jesus say, 'Him that cometh unto me and feels his sins enough, I will in no wise cast out'? Or does Jesus say, 'Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out'? Will you come to Christ?" And so they went down every excuse, every thing that stood in the way. And finally, the young man was at the end of all his excuses. And he says, "Well, I will come to Christ." And he came. And Torrey said, "Young man, you go to your room. And you have the battle of a lifetime in front of you. But whatever happens, however hell assaults you, you take your stand on that one statement of the Son of God, 'Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out.'" About 3 o'clock in the morning, the young man sent for Dr. Torrey, and they said, "I need help. I'm going through a terrible battle. It seems that all hell is against me." Torrey said, "I have nothing else to say to you. You take your stand in that one verse. You plead it before God, and keep pleading it, and don't move from it until God gives you victory." That night, the battle raged. That night, hell fought so that it would not lose its grip on that soul that the devil thought he had already sealed for perdition. But throughout that night, that young man, weakened in body and weakened in mind, nonetheless took his stand. Jesus said, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." Thank God. God gave him the victory. And it was writing of that that he talked of the years that he had spent in vanity and pride. And it was there at Calvary. There where Christ sealed to his heart the promise, "I will not cast you out," that he came into the liberty of the sons of God. The Gibeonites teach us this. You can come with confidence. Christ's blood is enough to satisfy God. Christ's love is enough to embrace the world. Christ's word is enough to assure your soul. You don't need any merit except his. You don't need to fear rejection. Salvation is yours in coming to Christ. He has never failed to save any who trusted in him. So, it is the greatest wisdom for sinners to seek the Lord. When they seek the Lord, they need of no fear of ever being rejected. Finally, let me quickly say this, that sinners who have sought the Lord and are saved by grace should continue to seek Him as they live for Christ in a hostile world. You see, the children of Israel were only sinners saved by grace. Exodus 12 tells you how they were saved out of the land of death in Egypt. Now they were following the Lord into the land of their possessions, and they needed to keep seeking the Lord. They had decisions to make. They had battles to fight. They had courses of action to embark upon. And they had to seek the Lord. And every time they failed to seek the Lord, it cost them dearly. I think of the words of Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 6. God speaks of Judah. He says, I will stretch out my hand upon Judah. I will cut off the remembrance of Baal and them that worship the host of heaven and them that are turned back from the Lord and those that have not sought the Lord nor inquired of Him. God is looking out across His church and He sees people who say, I have sought the Lord for salvation. I'm saved. And He's saying, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. You see, whatever you have to face in this life, you will be able to face it if you seek the Lord, if you get the Lord's mind and the Lord's wisdom on a matter. You will be able to seek and find and prosper and succeed. But if you seek to live your life without seeking the Lord, then you're going to get into trouble. This is one of the great troubles that the church has got into nowadays. We have people nowadays who are preaching the way to live the Christian life. And the way to live the Christian life, according to most modern preachers, is really to live it without God. Now, they'll not say that. It's to live it without reference to Christ. They'll not say that, but that's what it comes down to. They tell you you're saved by faith, but then they have this mechanical way of living. These are the rules for your home. These are the rules for your business. These are the rules for rearing your children. These are the rules for keeping your temper in order. These are the rules. These are the rules. Listen, however much truth there may be in the various rules, we live our lives by faith, according to Scripture. Faith is direct. Pointed toward Christ. In other words, the Christian life can never be lived mechanically. It must be lived in a dynamic relationship with God. It must be lived as you seek the Lord and as you find the Lord, as you have real fellowship with the Lord, as you feel the embracing love of God, and as your own heart is turned out to Him in love, reciprocated to Him for His great love for you. You see, that dynamic relationship where faith constantly seeks and finds the Savior is the secret of Christian living. And it's vitally important that we recognize that. Just as with Israel, we face a tremendous challenge. They had a dual challenge. First, there were the amalgamated efforts of the Confederacy to destroy them. And then there was the challenge that the Gibeonites posed. That was the danger of a compromising alliance. Now, we face those very same challenges today. There is the challenge of the ungodly arrayed against the Church of Christ. A great American commentator said that hatred of the righteous is one of the strongest bonds of union between the wicked. You see it in Scripture. Pilate and Herod got together in their rejection of Christ, and yet they were enemies. They had nothing in common, but their common rejection of Christ brought them together. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were constantly fighting each other, but again, in the crucifixion of Christ, you see them getting together. And so it is today. Humanism and heathenism have little in common, but they have this much in common, that they get together to oppose the Church of God and His Christ. On a personal level, the great amalgamation of the world and the flesh and the devil shows you the concentrated fury of the opposition that the people of God must face. And let me tell you, as a church and as individuals, in fighting the battle for holiness, we must seek the Lord. You must stay in contact with God. The psalmist said in the psalm from which we were singing this morning, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait on God. If there's one thing that needs to be emblazoned in every Bible-believing church and in every Christian's heart and home, it's this: wait on the Lord. We have so many people and they're running ahead of God. They're living as if God had abdicated. They're living as if the gospel had no vital input into their lives. Wait on the Lord. Settle yourself down before God. Seek His face. You need His fellowship. You need His protection. You need His guidance. You need His wisdom. Wait on the Lord.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.